Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
This is Louisa Fisher, the program manager with Flight Safety International in Savannah, Georgia.
Yes.
And what you were saying to me, Louisa, is that the training for both flight attendant, air crew, and cockpit crew is a little bit mixed.
And the value of CRM, we all talk about CRM, and, mm-hmm. and there are wonderful courses on CRM. Flight Safety has some great courses on CRM. But when you can actually get the crew together, and it is amazing the things that come out in the conversation between them when we're talking about this. We have classes for the flight crews to take emergency training, and of course we have flight attendant classes for beginners, initial, all the way through recurrent, and they are wonderful. And even though these two groups are getting virtually the same information as far as the checklists or procedures and that sort of thing, there's something about having them all together at the same time, because the nuances come up that were previously not addressed. And it's interesting that you asked that, because just before you walked up today, I was speaking with a flight attendant who's the lead of a nice flight department. They're quite large. And she was telling me about how they had an in-house meeting among all the flight staff. And everyone was sort of like, oh, here we are again. We always do this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, kind of halfway paying attention. And the chief pilot said, we were talking about our procedures, that if there was a ditching in the back, what would you, ladies and gentlemen, be saying in the back? And she was caught off guard, so she's trained with us for years, and she was saying, you mean you don't know? What is your procedure? And he says, well, our quick reference handbook says that we basically, you know, we fly parallel to the waves, and we lower the flaps, and we land, and we tell everyone to get out. She says, well, what about, you know, brace? What about your life vest? What about the life raft? What about who gets out when, who waits? Which exit are we going to go to? What about all the steps? And he goes, well, that isn't in the QRH. And so she said, we all need to talk. So they had a wonderful sit-down session where they actually went back and forth with those nuances for the disconnect. Because as you might imagine, a lot of OEMs don't go to a whole lot of detail about that, because most of that information is included in operating manuals.
That's right. It's SOP for each individual flight department.
Correct. And so there was just some, in that flight department, there was some disconnect about that, where they were, though they know they have their operating manual, and they've all had their in-house training on it, they train so much on the QRH during flight training that maybe some of that got pushed to the back, and they weren't really as sharp on it, which is so crucial to CRM.
Yeah.
So we also have seen an increased need in that, and conducting these training classes where they actually do train at the same time. The flight crew actually stands down and does training with the cabin crew. And if there's a maintenance tech that flies along also, then yes, they should be included also. And then they're all seeing the whole scenario from the beginning, from the time we're at altitude and everything's wonderful, and then in the scenario something happens, and they all see how they all fit together and how it works. It's enormously valuable. And I think it's a wonderful thing that's being driven from a lot of different angles, not only regulatory, which has been around forever, but also ISBAO has been huge on this for domestic operators, that you now have stipulated requirements for this. And when they are training together, you definitely see the results after the end of the course.
It's very interesting to me, because something I heard in a session yesterday was one of the lead flight attendant department managers saying, you know, you can use ISBAO to your advantage. When things don't seem quite right, you can say, no, wait a second. We have an SMS system. We have to go by this. Mm-hmm. And what that behavior is not in line. There's disconnects, she said.
Yes.
And you can actually go in, and instead of complaining, oh, the pilots aren't paying any attention to what we need to do, or we don't feel like they understand, you can say, we have an issue here that is an SMS issue.
Yes, exactly. I agree with that entirely, and I've seen it happen. The other thing I've seen happen is that when we go to flight departments and conduct training in-house, which is another variant we offer, it allows all this to work a little bit more smoothly. And she was discussing how she'd been tasked to try to put together an in-house program, and I gave her some information on how she could do that. And during this though, she said, you know, it's just so much, and I've got to come up with all the equipment, and you know, do you do it? So I explained how we would do it, and in part of that, the value of us doing it, and quite frankly, maybe to my mind, one of the greatest values, is that we become the objective third party. So mm-hmm. when you may have one part of the group is thinking things go a certain way, another part of the group is thinking things would go a different way, and then you have this person who is, you know, perceived as the industry expert, and because we have done a lot of study and research in all this, and so we're able to bring that together, and that maybe we don't have so many issues with personal opinions or personal experiences of something that happened way in their past. Perhaps there could be even some personality issues that are a little difficult to overcome within the group. When that objective third party is there, it melts much better. Everyone seems to come to the same end much more smoothly with less maybe social angst about it. So there's a big advantage to that. I've seen it happen many times.
Flight Safety has been committed to aircrew training for a long time now, and you've just recently opened yet a facility on the West Coast. Is that correct?
Correct. We've just opened one in Long Beach. Yes, and Savannah is the base for emergency training and cabin safety for corporate aviation. And so that we also have a center in Teterboro that's been operational for several years now. It's very convenient to operators in the Northeast. But this opening in Long Beach at the turn of the year has been very well received. I'm very pleasantly surprised at the response they've had, the convenience factor of being able to have that training over there. They have also equipped similarly to Savannah as far as having a cabin trainer that addresses several different OEMs, emergency exits, and a state-of-the-art fire trainer that is going to become the standard for the other training centers.
Sure, and it's got a pool too?
They are putting a pool in.
Okay,
they don't have
good.
It yet. We're anticipating a pool to be completed in 18 months.
Wonderful.
There's also a training center in Dallas that is focused on mid-cabin size aircraft. And they primarily do emergency training for crews. They do not offer flight attendant training at this time. But the emergency training is very convenient for that mid-country type area.
Mm-hmm. I understand completely. Is there a question I haven't asked that you think I should get into this, pertaining to this conference?
Let me think about that for just a moment.
Okay.
This conference that I, over the years that I've been attending it, they've been very open. They've invited me to be on the committee a few years ago, and that has been very informational for me. I've learned so much about the way other people in my same sort of business, of what they do as far as other providers and vendors, caterers, et cetera. It's been a big help for that. But I think I see that this has always has a steady group of people who are interested in getting into the business. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's very encouraging to me is the networking success that happens here. And here we're in an economic climate, the aviation industry mirroring the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And we've had some steady improvements and then maybe a few little dips, and then it's steadily improving again is what I'm seeing now. But I see that these people who come and they're invested their time and their money to be here to learn more about what we do and how to get into it, that the nurturing that happens among the attendees who have been coming for years, as well as the providers and vendors, that it's very encouraging, and it seems to be gives them tools and resources to go to. So when they're trying to get into this, maybe they leave here with a list of names so that as they start investigating different avenues to progress, they actually can come back to that. Well, what did you say about, you know, getting catering in a certain area? Or what did you say about maybe some areas of the country would have more possibilities of, or what was the difference between a fractional operator and a 135 operator? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they get the contacts that ends up helping them and in the long run probably assists them in getting the positions they're looking for.
It's really interesting to me that this business is so driven by the contract worker.
I've seen a great increase in contract workers over the last, since the economy slipped. It's very much shifted. I think there was some fear in some flight departments about committing to the full-time cabins person. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that change somewhat recently, that now I think everyone is getting a little more confidence in the economy and that business aviation is a necessity, not a luxury. And if that being what it is, there's some economic value to having the full-time employee instead of the contract employee. And, you know, then in the long term, the contract employee can be kind of expensive for the operator.
Yeah, I think so.
So even though right now, where we are in June 2012, there are a lot of contractors still finding employment. I am seeing a sort of a beginning of a switch to where they're now hiring full-time more than they were a year ago.
Okay.
So that is good for everyone.
How many flight attendants coming in looking for training at Flight Safety are actually self-funded versus sent by their company?
I would say it follows the economy. I would say at this time probably about... not hesitant because I don't want to give you the information.
You're calculating. I can see the wheels spinning. It's okay.
It's very different location to location. For instance, at Teterboro, because there's so much aviation going on in that region, they have a much higher level of corporate contract flight attendants. And so I would say in their area, it's probably closer to 40%.
Okay.
Savannah, much less so. Savannah, you know, though there's a large manufacturer right there, the corporate aviation is much less in the Savannah region than it, of course, would be in the Northeast.
Right.
So we're seeing more like, I would say, maybe 20%.
Okay.
Long Beach, again, would mirror more like Teterboro. They're, again, it's a big hub for aviation in that region, and so therefore a lot of opportunity for people who are interested in getting into the business.
And they're willing to put out the money right up front. And
yes.
Say, and once I'm trained, then it'll be good.
Yes.
Is it a staggering sum, or is it something that people can really handle?
I think most people find that just like any kind of professional training, that they do find that the value is there. And staggering sum of such a from person to person, what does that mean?
Well, that's why I couldn't even put a dollar amount on it at this point. But, you know, for some people, it's something they could just drop on a credit card. For other people, it's something where they really have to scrimp and save for a while to come up with enough money to go into class.
Absolutely. And I think that most people that I speak with, they find that just like purchasing any other item, you know, working off a credit card or something like that seems to work well for them. I perhaps to my own detriment, to go out of my way to try to work with people that do have financial issues with this.
Mm-hmm.
At the very beginning, I try to be very clear that if you have no contact at all with anyone in aviation at all, this has just occurred to you that this looks like it'd be a great job. Well, first off, it is a great job.
Yeah.
And I'd be the first to admit that. My years that I did it, I thought I had a wonderful time and I learned a lot, and it made some wonderful contacts and friends. But I also feel it's incumbent upon me to be clear about how difficult it can be to break in if you have absolutely no contacts.
Sure.
So it's as you're aware that, you know, networking is key to a lot of things in this industry.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily needs to be that your father owns the airplane. It does not necessarily mean that, but it does mean it can be difficult for someone who has no contacts at all.
Right.
And I try to impress upon them, before you invest in training, before you write that check, bring your card, any of that, take some time in your area and determine what is available in your area. I'm not saying you need to have a contract position or you don't need to have a job yet,
mm-hmm.
but at least investigate the possibility in your area. Meet some people, find out if they may be hiring, if they might be interested in you, and just do your homework on that. It is behooves you to do that homework because the record of training you receive at the end has some shelf life.
Sure.
And since it does, I recommend they don't come to training immediately. They do this homework first, and then when they feel they have an avenue, a direction, then let's talk about doing the training and what is appropriate for your experience background. Someone who has been flying and maybe commercial for many, many, many years, perhaps there's something that they could take that might be a little bit different from someone who maybe was a concierge or in the food industry, and they're thinking about getting into this, so they don't have an aviation background to start with.
Mm-hmm.
They need perhaps maybe a more remedial course that goes into the basics of how the airplane flies, you know, features of an aircraft and so forth. So I try to work with that also, because we all of us try to watch the way we spend our money these days, and we want these people to be successful.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's bodes to the reputation of the training facility if your people are successful.
It's the right way to do business.
Well, I agree.
You know, if you do business the wrong way, it will eventually bite you. As far as it's morally wrong, but on top of that, it will come back to haunt you. And I don't want that for many reasons. So I found that I've seen the best success by following what I advise. And I tell them to don't write that check, don't give me your credit card number. I don't want you to come to training until you feel you have a direction. And if I have any advice, if I know they're in a certain area and I maybe had the head of a fire department mention to me that they're looking, you know, I will tell them, you know, if you're in a certain region and I know some operator might be interested in looking at them, I will advise them to meet this person, give them contact information, or contact the operator myself and say, by the way, this person I've spoken with has this background, are you interested, and work it that way. So anyway, I can assist, I do, but mainly I think that homework is crucial before you spend money on training.
Terrific. Louisa, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Oh,
you,
well,
you were
you.
Very, very helpful.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.